Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's get our Bibles and let's go to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll begin there. And read that passage. We got some other things that we're going to read this morning. Maybe we have time. But let's start there. 1 Thessalonians. It's in the New Testament. Give you a little clue. It's before 2 Thessalonians. All right. You got it? All right. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul said this, verse 13. He says, "And brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." You know, he didn't want us ignorant. How many know that? God doesn't want you ignorant, right? Ignorant just means uninformed, you don't know. "Brethren, concerning them which are asleep," or those that we would say have died, "that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." How many know if someone dies in the Lord, we got hope?
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know the Lord, then, well, it's over with. But, you know, unless you're planning on going where they're going, but I'm not, amen. If you didn't know Jesus, I'm not going where you're going, amen. But, you know, we have hope, amen. It's not the last time we're going to see him. Amen.
Amen.
We have to get a hold of that, you know, so we don't sorrow, you know, like, you know, what am I going to do now? Well, if they're Christians, you're going to see them before too long.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you know this or not, but life goes by pretty fast, so it won't be all that long. You know, when you're in your teens and your single digit numbers and your teens and your 20s and you know, your 30s, you know, life seems to be like you got a lot ahead of you, but you find that goes really fast.
Amen.
Amen. That's not a downer. I mean, you know, it's just getting closer to being with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But, you know, so use it wisely.
Amen.
Because it flies by. Amen. And we're all headed to the same place if we know the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
He says, verse 14, "For if we believe this, that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or have died in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
Y'all hearing this? This is the word of the Lord. "That we which are alive and remain," those of us that are alive, "unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up,"
hallelujah,
"together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Wow, hallelujah. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Now, you know what I want to talk about this morning? I talked to God off on this Wednesday night, you know, a little bit, when teaching on prayer. But it just didn't leave me, so I'm going to preach on it this morning. I guess it wasn't done. I'm going to talk about, I'll call it the catching away.
Yeah.
Now, what do you mean by the catching away? Well, when you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, it's really evident that there's two comings of the Lord. Two comings. In this sense, that there's one where he's coming to get the saints, and there's one where he's coming with the saints. I mean, it's real evident in the Bible. It can't be missed. I mean, it's just there. This describes the Lord coming in the air. This is what we call, you've heard the term rapture, right? Now, you know, rapture is not a Bible term. How many know that? But why do we use the word rapture? Well, I looked that up one time. I thought, what wonder what rapture means? Because we use the term rapture, although it's not in the Bible, but the word caught up's in the Bible. Caught up. So, but why do we use the term rapture? Well, once I found out what the meaning of rapture was, I figured out, well, that's why we use that term, because it really fits right here. Rapture means this. It means the state of being wrapped. R-A-P-T. You said, well, I don't know what that is. Well, I didn't either, but I had to look it up. Rapt means carried away bodily to heaven. Or this word rapture means transported. Listen to this. It means ecstatic joy, ecstasy. Can you imagine what it's going to be like the day that we get raptured out of here and we're all with the Lord? I mean, we're here on the earth and all of a sudden, bam, we're up there with in the air with Him and all the saints. And we know from that point on, there's no more death. There's no more sickness. There's no more sorrow. There's no more financial issues. There's no more pain. There's no more politics. Hallelujah. Won't that be wonderful? We just know from now on we're taken care of because we're with the Lord. Hallelujah. Could you imagine? I mean, you won't have an ounce of responsibility. Think about it. You know how, doesn't it feel good? I mean, if you work Monday through Friday, doesn't feel good to get Friday? Doesn't that feel good when you get, when you know that bell rings and you're out of there? I used to do that. I remember that. I went, I like this. You know, because you got a reprieve for a couple of days, right? Amen. I mean, it's all, you know, you can go do what you want to now. Isn't that good? Yeah. We're about ready to get a reprieve for eternity. Hallelujah. Woo, I feel goosebumps all over me. Hallelujah. Praise God. So this word, you know, it means ecstatic joy, ecstasy. It means the act of transferring a person from one place to another. It also means an act or expression of excessive delight. It also means a snatching away, a violent seizure, or a violent seizing something. Not like a person has a seizure, but grabbing something. The word that Paul uses here, he says we will be caught up. That word, actually the Greek word there, means a sudden, swift, violent grab. In other words, it's going to happen. Are you with me now? Amen. It isn't going to be this. You see, you know, I heard a lady minister one time, she, you know, talking about us going up and what her grandson said he was going to do on the way up. What did he say he was going to do? Try to keep his... go up like an airplane if he could keep his feet together or his legs together. That's what her grandson, she said, that's what my grandson told me when rapture takes place. But the truth of the matter is, it's going to be a violent, quick, and bam! Paul said, in the moment, a twinkling of an eye, we're just here, pew, we're gone. Glory to God. I mean, in other words, it isn't going to like, they're going to watch us just slowly, you know, like, hey, you're floating. Where are you going? No, it's going to be pew, like that. Bam. We're out of here. You know, that day's coming. That day is coming when millions of true Christians are going to leave the earth. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, what did we just read? I just read the scripture to you. How could you not believe it? You may want to argue about when it's going to happen, but you can't say it's not going to happen and be scriptural because right there it tells you that He's come and that we will be caught up. And Paul, elaborating on that day, he said that it would take place in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump. See the trumpet there, the trumpet will sound at the trump, that we would be changed. Come on, how many remember that? Listen, this is what Paul was talking about when he said in Corinthians, he said, behold, I'll show you a mystery. A mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So it's just going to be just quick, violent grab, poof. We're out of here. That's why, listen, we're going to read this scripture later on if we have time here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But that's why the Bible describes it, that Paul said, you know yourselves perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, you know, like a thief comes in there and he grabs your valuables. You know, a thief doesn't come in there and he doesn't steal stuff that's not worth something. He's grabbing your valuables. He's not coming in there to steal things that are not of any value. He grabs your valuables. That's what the Lord's going to do. He's going to come and he's going to grab the valuables. Amen. The Christians true believers off the earth. Ooh, that's going to be a time. Hallelujah. I tell you, I don't believe it's all that far away.
No.
I don't know when it's going to happen, but I have a feeling, you know, because some of this where Paul, which we're going to read here in a minute, where it looks like Paul's saying that, it comes like a thief in the night, like we won't know when he's coming. But I believe if you read on, he talks about we're not ignorant that we don't know the times or the seasons. See, we can sense when it's happening. They're signposts. Amen. I said they're signposts.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting ready. Phyllis and I are getting ready to make a trip. I'm getting to wear more and more as I get older. I don't like to drive. I don't like to drive long distances, I should say. You know, it's just getting where I detest it more and more as I get older. And, I'm ready for beam me up, Scotty. I wish they'd work on that and get that developed where we can just be beamed over places. As you get, I know when I'm getting to my destination because I see signs.
Yeah.
I see signs. And I know when I'm about there because of the signs I see, you know. And so you and I, we know our destination. We know where we're going. But I can see signs. I can see signs. You know, Jesus gave us signs, didn't he? He did. He said there'd be wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquakes, and in diverse places. These would be the beginning of sorrows or the beginning of birth pains. Now, what does that mean? Well, it just means that, you know, those signs as they get closer together, that you know you're about ready to give birth. Just like a woman has signs when she's pregnant. There's signs that she can tell. I'm expecting, see? Well, what happens there? Well, the closer the pains get together, the sooner you know you're about to give birth to a baby. Well, that's what Jesus was saying. The closer these signs I'm giving you come, then you're going to know you're right at the door of the Lord's coming.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, and let me just say this to you. You know, we can't, I don't know if I should say this or not, but maybe people need to know it. We can't pray away things Jesus said were coming. We can't rebuke them away. We can't fast them away. We can't faith them away. How many are with me? We can certainly keep our lives protected by the promises of God. But some of these things are coming on the earth. I don't care what kind of prayer meeting we have. We're not going to change it. Because Jesus said it. You're not going to override the head of the church who said there would be earthquakes, pestilences, and plagues in various places. Wars and rumors of wars. Maybe you don't like that, but, you know, somebody needs to speak some sense into the body of Christ right now with all the craziness that's being done in the name of our Lord. If you're going to prophesy, you stand by your prophecy. Don't duck and hide when it doesn't come to pass. Is that plain enough? See, we need to be responsible. Has everybody missed it? Well, that's why Paul said judge it. Why? Because he knew men could miss it. I've missed it. You've missed it. All God's children have missed it. But we need to be responsible and make sure we've heard from God before we say, thus saith the Lord.
Right.
Amen. Now, all right. So Paul said this. Let's read on down. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 1. He says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. In other words, he's just going to come unexpectedly to the world and get the valuables, the Christians, out of this earth. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. How many know you don't want to be, here the day after the rapture? You don't want to be here. Because, you know, if you think it's tough now, wait till the church is gone. I've told you this, but I thought it was so funny. A guy in Dr. Barclay's church, you know, because I'm going to show you that I believe that the Lord's coming. This 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I believe the Lord's coming to get us before the tribulation period. And since I'm pastor of the church, I will establish the doctrine here. That's what we believe, all right? Now, you may not. That's all right with you. Dr. Barclay talked about a guy in his church that said, I don't believe it. I believe we're going through the tribulation. I love what Dr. Barclay told him. He said, you're not. He said, what do you mean, Pastor? He said, you can't even make it to church now. You sure ain't going to make it to tribulation time. Amen. You can't make it when all these Christians are here and everything's on TV. There's churches everywhere. You can't make it then. You're not going to make it when that's all gone. Don't tell me you're going to live for God then. Amen. Come on, wake up. Amen, right? So, I want to be here the day after that happens. Amen. I want to go out on the first load. Amen. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. See, we're not in darkness. We should have a sense that it's about to happen. You are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. In other words, let us be ready. Let us be found walking in the kingdom of God. Amen. For now, notice verse 9, because this is what I wanted to get to here. Verse 9 and 10 says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me stop there before we read verse 10. What does he mean, God's not appointed us to wrath? Well, Paul's talking about the end times. He's talking about the day of the Lord. He's talking about the rapture of the church getting out of here, so the church isn't going through wrath. Isn't that what he's talking about? See, don't let me know chapter 5, the title chapter 5 was not in the original. See, men put that in for reference sake. I'm glad they did. I'm glad we can say, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. We can all find it. But that wasn't in the original writings that Paul wasn't writing a letter by chapter. He didn't write this on chapter 1 now, chapter 2. I mean, a printer did that so that when I got up here and said, it's written somewhere, you take a half an hour for you to find it. I can actually tell you where it's written, right? See, so I wanted to make a point. He's just flowing through here. He's talking about the Lord coming to get the church, and he says we're not appointed to wrath. Amen. We're not appointed to wrath. Now, here's the interesting thing. You know, there's people here in town, good people, love God, going to heaven, but they teach that the church is going through the tribulation period. But did you know the Bible in Revelation specifically, chapter 6, a lot of different chapters, specifically says that the tribulation period is the wrath of God. It's the wrath of the Lamb. It makes it very plain. It's God's wrath. And here's an interesting thing. You find in Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3, Jesus talks about the church to John. After chapter 4, where he said, come up here, from chapter 4 all the way until the Lord returns, you never hear about the church again. You never hear about the saints again. They're not mentioned. They're not in there. There's a good reason they're not in there, because they're not here. They're not on the earth. Amen. See, you even find, the Bible talks about, I think it's Revelation chapter 7. Come on, are you with me now? We're teaching this morning. I hope you're getting something out of this, all right? Yeah. Revelation chapter 7, the Bible even talks about this. It talks about what's coming on the earth, that God told the four angels, stop the four winds from blowing on the earth. And, you know, I did some study on what would happen if the four winds stopped blowing on the earth. It's not good. It's bad. But then he said, before you harm anything, he said, seal the servants of God in their foreheads so that they don't get harmed. And it tells us who he sealed, 144,000 of the tribes of Israel. Not the church. I said, not the church. Now, I'm just convinced if the church was here, we'd have been sealed. But he sealed the 144,000. I feel the Holy Ghost. He sealed the 144,000 so that they would be safe. Not a mention of the church. You won't find the church or the saints mentioned, the church, that is. You won't find the church mentioned from chapter 4 on, because we're gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, we're gone. Amen. Now, All right, let's go here to verse number 9 again, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now verse 10, everybody listen. Verse 10 tells us how we're going to obtain our salvation from the wrath. Verse 10, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. I want you to think about that. Didn't we just read Paul said, the dead in Christ shall rise first? Hallelujah! We which are alive and remain shall be called up together to meet the Lord in the clouds. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Didn't he say then? He just keeps on flowing through this theme. He says God's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. How are we going to obtain that salvation? Because whether we're alive or whether we're already dead, come on, we're going to go live with Him. In other words, He's going to get us out of here to be with Him. Look at the very first chapter of Thessalonians. Very first chapter. Verse 9. Paul's talking to them again. He says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols and to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven. Isn't that the rapture? To wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. To me, it's very plain right there. Paul said, there's wrath coming, but whether we're awake or whether we sleep, we're going to go be with the Lord. Amen. And he was just telling, see, what you have to kind of understand, you know, the Bible is best understood if you read the whole thing in context, like the whole letter to the Thessalonians, read the whole thing in context. What you find out was these believers were troubled about their loved ones not being resurrected. And Paul said, no. And when the Lord comes back, everybody's going to go. Everybody's going to get glorified bodies. Everybody's going to go. Amen. Amen. Now, all right, I think we got enough time. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Let's go there. We were there Wednesday night talking about prayer. Let's go back over there, Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And in Luke 21, Jesus is talking about the end times, different things are going to happen. They actually ask Him three questions. They ask Him, you know, what will be the sign of your coming, in the end of the world, and when shall all these things be? They ask Him those questions, you know, and he begins talking about, you know, the end of the world. He also includes in here some things about Israel. But he talks about the end of the world, the end of the age as we know it. And he said in verse 34 of Luke 21, he said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting or distractions, overdoing it. You know, I mean, actually excess is what surfeiting means. And drunkenness and cares of this life or distraction of this life. So that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Doesn't that sound a lot like what we just read in Thessalonians? It'll come as a thief in the night. He says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, if that doesn't sound like rapture, I don't know what does. Escape. Escape what? He just listed all the bad things that was going to happen during the tribulation period. And he said, you keep yourself prayed up. You keep yourself in fellowship with me. And you'll be in a place, you'll escape all these things. And you'll come and stand before me. Oh man, where's the amens in this church? I mean, this is a promise to us. Hallelujah. We want to be ready, amen. You know, I'm not anybody's judge. God's everybody's judge. He knows whether you're ready or not. And really, you probably do too, if you just be honest about it. But we want to be ready. I don't want to miss this. Yes. You say, well, can I still be saved if I miss the rapture? Well, yeah, you still could be. I mean, you know, I can show you places in the Bible that prove it. You could still get saved after after the rapture. But why would you want to wait that long? Why would you want to have to go through all this Antichrist stuff and all this end time stuff? Why would you want to do that? Because I'm kind of like what Dr. Barclay says, if you can't make it now, I doubt you're going to make it then.
That's right.
If you can't serve him now, how in the world do you think you'd serve him then?
That's
see,
right.
It's going to get a lot worse. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's go to one last scripture. Come on, did you get anything today?
Amen.
You say you're done? Well, no, I'm going to another scripture. Didn't you hear me?
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. I want to show you that this is prophesied about in the book of Isaiah, the rapture of the church. Isaiah 26. Let's go there. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, let me just say, now, I have friends. Actually, I've preached for them that they don't believe in the rapture. I still love them. We still get along. When I go to their church, I don't preach on the rapture. No, not because I'm being a hypocrite. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not a hypocrite. I tell anybody, you know, I tell them to their face, yeah, absolutely, I'm going. You can stay. I'll keep your food warm. But I'm just respectful. That's, you know, there is such thing as etiquette, ethics in the ministry. I don't go in there and just plow sideways from what you've been teaching your people. They're going to heaven even if they don't believe in the rapture. It's a shame. It's a shame. Because they carry a lot more weight than they'd have to. Let me tell you something about the rapture. When you preach the rapture, it encourages sinners to get saved and saints to live holy.
Amen.
Yes,
it does.
Yeah, absolutely. When people realize that the Lord could come back any moment, it has a way of making you like Paul said, it'd purify you when you have that hope in you. Or John said that, excuse me. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3, he said, he that has this hope in him of the Lord returning purifies himself even as he is pure. It causes you to live holy. You read Paul's exhortations about the coming of the Lord and holiness. He always connects the coming of the Lord to holiness, to living holy.
Yes.
Amen. Because the Lord's coming, be ready. You don't want to be ashamed that he's coming, right? You know, as you get older, you begin to think about those things more. You begin to think about, you know, it ain't going to be that long before I'm going to stand before the Lord. Give an account. Maybe I better be a little bit more faithful than I've been. Amen? You start thinking about those things. Well, at least if you care, you think about those things. I think about them. Now, Isaiah, are you there? Isaiah 26. This is a prophetic word, and I want you to see this. I saw this years ago in my Bible, I thought, wow, I never seen that before. But this is a prophetic scripture about the rapture. Isaiah 26, verse 19 says, thy dead men shall live together with my dead body. They shall arise, awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs. The earth shall cast out the dead. Isn't that what Paul just talked about? The dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
Jesus, this could be prophetic about Jesus. Your dead body liveth mine. How many know Jesus was dead, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Remember that? He said, I'm he that was alive and died, and I'm alive forevermore.
Amen.
He said, my dead body arose, so's yours. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. And notice verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut the door behind thee. Hide thyself as if it were for a little moment until indignation be overpassed. Now think about, let's just finish reading verse 21. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Now if you read through the tribulation period description in Revelation, this is exactly what happens. The Lord comes out of his place and punishes the inhabitants of the earth for their sin. The earth discloses blood. See, he starts taking vengeance for the blood of his saints that's been shed. That's part of the tribulation. It's in the book of Revelation. You say, well, I never read the book of Revelation. It freaks me out, Pastor. Well, it's in there anyway. Now, but what I want you to see, if this does for you what it's doing for me. Verse 20 said, come, my people, enter into thy chambers. Now, the word chambers here, it's funny. One of the meanings of it is an apartment or parlor or dwelling place. You ever heard that before? what Jesus say to his disciples? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many. You know what that word mansions is in the Greek? Dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is Isaiah 26 right there. Come into the chambers. Hide yourself. In other words, while I'm finishing my work on the earth, I'm going to catch you up here to be with me. I'm going to catch you out of the midst of all that. Hallelujah. You're not going to be in that while it's going on. I'm going to have you up here to myself. Woo, hallelujah. Now, once again, I have friends that are, they're going through the tribulation. Well, help yourself go through it. We'll talk about it when you get to heaven. I want to see your scars. But I'm going into the chambers. Why? Until the indignation be passed. See, just for a little, hide yourself for a little moment, 7 years, till the indignation be passed, because the Lord's coming out of His place, and He's going to deal with it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when Jesus said that, John, when He said what He said in John chapter 14, we use it at funerals, let's use it at funerals a lot, you know, where He said, I go prepare a place for you, and all that. You know, that can't mean His second coming. Not His second coming. That's got to mean the rapture. At His second coming, He's coming back on the earth.
Yeah.
See, if you'll compare 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with Revelation 19, when He comes back, see, Thessalonians, He comes to get the saints. Revelation, He comes with the saints. It's a total different coming. He's coming to make war.
Yes.
He's going to fight against the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, the kings, the perverted kings of the earth and armies of the earth. And the Bible says he's gonna destroy them with a sword that comes out of His mouth.
Amen.
What does that mean? He ain't going to have to fire a shot. He's just going to speak the word and they're all going to be slain.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And then He's going to grab the devil and put him in the lake of fire. Read it. It's Revelation 19. It's a great future for us. A bad future for the devil and those that are on the side of the Antichrist. We win.
Amen.
I'll tell you something, man. The church is more than conquerors.
Amen.
Will there be people saved during the tribulation? Absolutely, there will be people saved. Sure, there'll be people saved. But why wait? Why wait till then? Why not go out on the first load? Hallelujah. See, there's a lot of things. Let me just say this. There's a lot of things about the coming of the Lord. We don't know everything. We don't know everything about it. But thank God for what we do know. And I'll tell you what. Jesus knew about it. How many know that? You read some of the Gospels, some of the things He said, it can only apply to the rapture. And then Paul, when he was caught up to the third heavens, he got a revelation of it. Remember, he said, I saw things. He said, some things are just unutterable. I can't even tell them to you in English. There's just, remember Peter said, he said, the things that Paul wrote are Scripture. He said, some things are hard to be understood, but they're Scripture. He said, and those that twist the Scriptures, they twist it to their own destruction, what Paul said. See, Paul had revelation. Remember, he said, I've received an abundance of revelation. Now, that doesn't mean Peter didn't know about the rapture, but I think Peter saw us burn up more than he saw us go up. Paul saw us go up.
Yes.
Peter talks about the earth being burned with fire. He had a revelation there. Remember, Paul said, I show you a mystery. What's a mystery? A previously hidden secret of God. I show you a mystery. I got this from God. That before the tribulation period takes place, He's coming and getting His people out of here. Unfortunate thing is it shouldn't be a mystery today. We got it revealed to us right there in Thessalonians. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of this today? Come on, let's give the Lord thanks this morning. He's coming back. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.